It's barely a hat.
My dog 3 years ago, he got to it as a puppy, but it's my pool beach wear.
Right. You're not wearing it to weddings.
No, and I usually go backwards with it, which I
Right.
think really, there you go.
Well, that's like pros and cons. Can't tell how beat up the hat is. A
Right.
little worse in terms of revealing where your hairline currently stands.
Very high.
Higher than it's ever been.
I used to not wear a hat to the beach and the pool when my hair served as a SPF 50 barrier to my scalp.
Right.
It no longer does, unfortunately.
Welcome to another episode of Low Rollers. It's our 30th episode of the year, but more importantly, it's our fourth to last episode before NFL season starts. I can taste it, Jeff. I'm Eric Raskin. He's Jeff Edelstein. We are writers for CasinoReports.com, InGame.com, and other assorted.coms. Please subscribe. Please give us a 5-star rating. It was just 2 weeks ago that I used this little intro part of the pod to share your pain, Jeff, over being the Jason Bateman of Low Rollers and the Sean Hayes of Low Rollers, but not the Will Arnett of Low Rollers. And now I must sadly admit that I too may be the Jason Bateman of Low Rollers because he vented on an episode of Smartless about people who send a series of short text messages instead of one longer text message. And as you know, that's my number one pet peeve. I don't think I like the fact that I'm aligned with Bateman on anything. Any advice, Jeff, to help me cope with the realization that I may be the Bateman?
No, there none to give, as I might be in the same boat as you. But I do want to ask you, when you slacked me that, and then I said, and then I wrote, I didn't even mean to do that when I just did it. Did you think that I really didn't mean to do that, and did I actually get you when I continued in my one sentence messages?
I kind of come to expect that now with anyone that I vent about this to, that they are going to respond by sending a bunch of little one sentence
Can I
messages.
just say, listen. I'm going to argue the other side here because when I will like bing 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 bing, I'll Slack message you, right? Five or six bing bing bing, and that annoys the shit out of you. But what annoys the shit out of me is when I'm waiting for your response and I see Eric Raskin is typing, and I'm waiting a minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, Wednesday, Thursday, and finally I get this, 18,000 word fucking Slack message.
There's probably a happy medium somewhere, I will acknowledge, but the problem is if I start typing, okay, let's say I have a paragraph's worth to say in response to explain what I'm saying. If I send just one sentence of it and I'm working on the rest, you're going to respond to that one sentence before I've completed my thought. So there's that aspect too. But the most important thing is just like the fewest amount of times in a day that my phone can buzz or beep. That's winning. And
Fair.
so if you can send one message that causes one buzz versus six messages that cause six buzzes, that's
I think
it's a big issue for
the problem I have, like, the attention span of like a stupid dog, though, and like so I can like maybe get one thought out at a time. Who does not have the attention span of a stupid dog? That's the worst intro we're going to read.
We're sticking with it. I think it's good. It's a reach, but I like it. Continue.
We have a great interview today, and it's with the VP of Interactive at AGS, Zoe Ebling. I'm going to go ahead and call her the most delightful guest we've had.
Wow, number one on the
Yeah.
delightful rankings.
She was a
Okay.
delight. She was
All
an
right.
absolute delight.
Once again, breaking the fourth wall and letting people know that the interview's already been recorded, even though
Oh,
it's coming
we're not
later
supposed
in
to
the
let
show.
people know that.
No, it's fine. We do that all the time, but I don't know. I
I
like to
just can
keep the illusion.
I also want to say this. I felt old interviewing Zoe. I felt like she was younger and smarter than me, and I don't like that. But before we get to Zoe, but you don't think so? You don't think she's younger
No,
and smarter
it's not that. It's that if younger and smarter than you is a problem,
than me? It's I
the
got a
rest of
long
your
road
life is going
ahead.
to be tough.
Oh man. All right, let's get to the news for
Yes.
crying all night.
Let's. Our lead story this week is not really a gambling story, but it could prove to be a massive gambling story. ESPN acquired most of the NFL's media operations. The NFL acquired a 10% stake in ESPN. The two massive sports companies are now deeply intertwined. This is basically the biggest sports media slash sports business story of a generation. But what could it mean in terms of gambling? this could be the lifeline ESPN bet needs to finally break through and start living up to some of its promise if promoted properly, if integrated into all things NFL, or it could be the beginning of the end of ESPN bet, since if they can't make this work, they can't make anything work. There's also a side story here as this deal got announced officially just one day after ESPN announced its FanCenter app, bringing sports betting and fantasy together in one place. Jeff, your big picture or small picture takeaways on any of this news?
Yeah, I mean, it's potentially huge, and we're not going to know, right? Because the deal's like signed, sealed, delivered, but like we're the integration, not really happening for this NFL season, right? So they're saying, like, for instance, Red Zone will be ESPN branded next
Ah,
season,
okay. Didn't
okay?
realize that. All right.
Which is interesting because by this time next year, we're going to be dangerously close to that 3 year mark of the ESPN bet deal where the either side can opt out, yada yada yada. So if they don't, I hope they don't. I hope both sides decide to stick it through because I'm curious to see what happens if this happens, right? Because
Right.
as I wrote, in the column that I wrote for InGame, the idea here, like, I'm watching Red Zone on my phone, or on my TV, like, and I'm like one click away from ESPN. Theoretically, I should be when I check the scores on the ESPN bet app, or ESPN app, takes me right to the NFL, takes me right to my bet slip, takes me right. It should be seamless, and I think that's the direction they're headed as they're merging fantasy and betting, which is okay, I guess. I don't know. I mean, I this is if this, as you said, if they go through with this and if ESPN bet gets integrated seamlessly into the NFL products. And if that doesn't work, then yeah, no media deal is ever going to work with a sports book.
Right. I do think that the fan center thing is a pretty big side story. Just like capturing fantasy players is part of how FanDuel and DraftKings became dominant on the sportsbook side.
Right.
So this is a way to take everyone who uses the ESPN fantasy app and get ESPN bet in front of their face. I think independent of the NFL news, that could have been a game changer, could be a game changer, but certainly combined with the NFL news, yeah, there's a lot going on here. I just heard someone venting on a podcast, someone who is not into the gambling at all, sort of venting about, oh man, if Red Zone is just going to become nothing but gambling odds, yada yada, that it's all implied that if you're watching Red Zone, you probably at least play fantasy or maybe doing, but all of that being front and center is going to drive the people who don't want gambling mixed in with their football nuts.
There's not one, there's not 98% of people that are watching Red Zone are watching it because they have at minimum fantasy
Right,
interest.
at least a fantasy league. But then there was sort of another suggestion of like this person saying, well, maybe there should be a Red Zone 2 type of thing that is a Red Zone with a gambling emphasis,
I mean,
that
it certainly
which
might
probably
happen,
makes
right?
sense. Maybe that's coming. You wrote separately this week about how DraftKings is now mimicking Fanatics,
Right.
and it's a sign that Fanatics has arrived as a real threat. I thought that was a very sharp angle, as I told you. And that's related to this in that it's not just the big two dominating online sports betting. It's turning into a big two and a half, I guess. And it just further magnifies how much ground ESPN bet has to make up and how hard it'll be to break in. I'm not gonna set odds, but I'm going to say that ESPN bet thriving in the wake of all this still strikes me as an underdog.
It is. Well, yeah. I mean, if for no other reason, they have so much ground to pick up, and it just has not caught on, And who knows? I don't. I mean, people have gone broke probably trying to figure out reasons why something doesn't happen. But I mean, I think it's a. I've written before, man. It's a quality app. I think as for the recreational, for like Joe Sixpack, I think it's probably the best app out there. Like it's quick, it's fast. Your payouts are quick. I don't know.
They
I
used to
mean,
have good promos.
they used to have good promos. Yeah,
Sorry, I didn't mean to bring you down.
I can't help but think that after I wrote that article, highlighting how great the promos are, some bean counter at ESPN Bet's like, what the fuck is going on here? Cancel
Right.
these promos. I
Right.
feel like I kind of shot myself in the foot on that one.
Yeah, you may have.
Or I think that I have an outsized ego, which may be true. I can't help it if I'm smart, funny, modest, and handsome.
Yeah, there you go again with that line.
I love that line.
I loved it the first three or four times you used it. The one other thing I want to say about this is that ESPN had better live up to its word and not fuck around with Red Zone. Aside from the gambling stuff, just I mean in
Right.
terms of the presentation, if they replace Scott Hansen with Pat McAfee or some shit,
No, 4-year contract Hansen just signed.
well, all right, but who the
Well, you got
I don't
4 years.
know. Who knows? All right.
Who knows where it'll be in
Fine, then I'll wait
2030?
4 years, but then if they replace him with someone I
Then you
don't
can
like, I'm
complain.
putting on my MAGA shaman outfit and I'm storming Bristol.
That's I clip that.
Okay. All right, let's go lightning round with some other news. Three more items that we want to hit. First, on Monday, 50 attorneys general signed a letter calling for the DOJ to block web access and payments to offshore gambling sites and seize their domain names. The most comprehensive unified effort yet to stamp out the offshores. It's not all 50 states, it's 47 states plus three districts or territories. But anyway, Jeff, your thoughts? Does a sternly worded letter from 50 AGs do anything?
I don't think so. I mean, you see that Joe Brennan tweet basically said for the last 20 years these offshores have done like all they've done is like make sure that they can't be touched by like American lawmakers.
Right.
So I mean, why don't we ban Russian chatbots while we're at it? Like I just don't understand how they think they could do this.
Right.
I mean, good for the AGs. Yeah, I'm glad we've solved all of life's other problems.
Right. They've let the world know where they stand on this, but it will obviously do nothing. But I did get some enjoyment out of it. I spent like 60 seconds glancing at all the actual AG signatures,
Right.
and I want to say that Rob Bonta has the penmanship of a third grader. Just
Is
wanted to
that
point
right?
that out. Yeah,
All right.
not
Well, let's
good.
pile on Bonta.
Yes, absolutely.
I agree. We should pile on Bonta.
All right. Next item. Ohio Governor Mike DeWine is not happy about two Cleveland Guardians pitchers being involved in scandals related to micro betting. So he has called for a ban on player props in Ohio, which I guess nobody told him the bets on Clase and Ortiz were placed at regulated books in other states outside Ohio. So unless he can ban prop bets globally at legal and illegal books alike, he's changing nothing. This DeWine guy is just determined to show off at every turn how little he understands about how sports betting works. That's my quick little angry rant. Anything to add, Jeff?
Yeah, I mean that exactly what you said. This ban, the New Jersey legislature wants to ban micro bets. They other pe people want to bet bans on college props. I mean, we all know like anyone who has like the slightest whiff of understanding of this business understands that this is nonsense. Like it's not stopping anything, and if anything, it's just pushing it further, into offshore and unregulated markets. I mean, it's the same story all over, Rinse, repeat.
Yeah. All right. Lastly, big lottery news broken last Friday by Chris Altruda for Casino Reports. The $83.5 million Lotto Texas winner, Kristen Moriarty, has finally been paid. The state held up her winnings while investigating Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick's largely invented controversy. She sued. She has now been paid the lump sum of $45.9 million before taxes. So this little embarrassing chapter for Texas is over, I think. Jeff, anything to say about this?
I do. I have a question. I don't know if you can answer it. We do very good work here at Casino Reports and In-Game. Chris Altruda is a dynamite reporter, but how the fuck did we get this story first?
I don't want to say too much, but I'll just say someone on our staff had a good source.
That's fantastic. I mean that is tremendous because I mean that's Texas is a big state. You would think that like it would have slipped out somewhere in there, but like we got it
Right.
first. Good
Yeah,
for us.
it was
Like
cool
for
that
real,
like
good for us.
the guy from the Houston Chronicle that we interviewed a few months ago,
Right.
Dexheimer, that he reported it after us, linking to us. That's a win.
I know.
Big win.
That's a huge win. Huge win.
Yes.
Good for us. Pat on the back.
Yes. And also let's give ourselves a pat on the back for our interview guest coming up in a moment here. I tried to say better or worse than your segue earlier in the show. I don't know.
Better. Definitely
Okay.
better.
The bar was low. Anyway,
Yeah.
let's get to our interview. This is a fun one. We We've talked in recent months about online casino from the operator perspective, interviewing executives from Hard Rock and FanDuel, and we've talked about it from the player perspective just last week with Brian Christopher. This week, we're excited to get some insight from the perspective of a company designing and distributing the games. Joining us now is the VP of Interactive at AGS, Zoe Ebling. Zoe, welcome to Low Rollers.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
So, one of the big things that interests me about what AGS has done since you started there in 2023 is its emphasis on omni-channel games, omni-channel releases, rolling out your game launches both at retail casinos and online casinos. Tell us a little about why you like to release in both venues at once and how important you feel it is for the games to play the same in both venues.
Yeah, this is an interesting question. One of the things that I like to point out as to why omnichannel is an obvious thing for us to lean into is just really based on how land-based is the toughest arena, right? So if we think about it from that perspective and games that are performing in land-based instances, those are the titles that we know are translating really well to online. So focusing our efforts on those really core games, it seems like an easy decision for us to make. Making sure that the product plays the same is also important. Think about it like any, if you think about Target, right? Like there's the Target app, there's the Target store. You'd expect to have the same things in store that you can get on the app. These are really common experiences that people have every day. And so we want to lean into what is easy for people and also kind of jump on the experiences that we see happening in digital and physical realms.
One related thing that when we I mentioned we had Brian Christopher on last week and talking about online and live, and he specifically pointed out that he thinks online is a lot better from a responsible gambling perspective. Do you share his view on that?
I would mostly because you're able to like really tie player behavior to a specific user, where in a land-based sense, right, if you're not using a player card, or you don't have specific security measures in place to be able to help someone who might be in need of some of those services from an online perspective, there's better flags and there's better resources that can be provided earlier on so that players are protected in a more meaningful way. I do agree with his assessment there.
Yeah, I'd like to ask you something. And you started it, so I don't feel that bad asking about it. Before we started recording, I was accused of partaking in a dad joke, which guilty as charged. I get it. But you seem to be about a generation behind me, right? And there's been a lot of talk in the industry about how to appeal not only to your generation but to the generation below you, and how like gaming is looking different. Gambling looks much different to a 16-year-old today than, well, not a 16-year-old. I should take that back. Gambling looks a lot different to a 21-year-old today than a 21-year-old from 20 years ago or from, before then. And as from your perspective, what's changed and what maybe more importantly is changing going forward to try to attract generations to that? For a lot of them, like they look, a slot machine isn't the newest, whizziest, slam bangiest thing they've ever seen in their life.
So a great question and very relevant question and something everyone talks about a lot and is important to discuss. One of the things I mentioned earlier on in our discussion is leaning into this idea of experiences. And I think if we take a step back for a moment and we consider what are other industries doing to attract that same player segment, cohort, right? We can see that there's a rise on creating experiential things that people can participate in. And this can be seen in the fact that, like, Carl's Jr., the burger joint, right? They're doing pop-up nightclubs with influencers. I went to the Bahamas earlier this year, and there's a whole Barbie ball pit kid zone, right? As well as Netflix, they've opened up these pop-up restaurants, Netflix Bites, where you can order the food that you see in the in the movie that you're watching, at the restaurant. So more and more, as we find ourselves going further and further into a digital world, we actually see that these physical experiences are becoming more valuable. So I think one of the key things that we're doing with these omnichannel initiatives is we're not just launching games simultaneously, but we're really creating these environments that reach players where they are and do help us in attracting a different type of player base, and where we differentiate ourselves with experiences rather than just floor activations is that these are, you know, themed for player enjoyment, not necessarily for game marketing, if that makes sense.
Right. Also, this industry, as evidenced by Eric and I, is still very male dominated. I'm just curious, your path to all this, like, were you, is this something that would interest you when you were younger, or did you just kind of fall into it?
The quick story that I tell is that, I was a college dropout that had an idea to make an app, and I joined a small company in the gaming industry in Scottsdale, Arizona to learn more about, building applications, and through that got to lead an entrance into real money gaming. It was a social business that was making the jump into RMG, and we had like one customer, and I ended up learning so much more about business as a whole than just like how to build an app, and ended up being really successful at launching a new product vertical in a really mature market. And so made a network of individuals that trusted me, and in AGS then really took this expertise to kind of help with their online business. And you can see in the growth that AGS has had in the time that not just myself, but other individuals have joined the team, really with a new direction, we've been really successful. So it's a roundabout way that I entered the industry. But I think one of the things that like stands out about AGS and like, how are we, you know, doubling market share in North America, right? There's very few companies in the online space that can say that about themselves. And I think it really goes down to our ability to execute on strategic ideas. And it's an operational led focus that supports our partners in ways that actually matter. So many of these businesses are just so large that they're not able to execute on these strategic initiatives, right? They talk and talk and talk about what they're going to do to attract the new segment of players. But what are they doing today, right? We are able to come up with strategic ideas, but also execute on them. And that's what's building real value for our partners.
I also want to say good for AGS for not giving a shit about a college degree. Like,
David Lopez will see this and be like, wait, I did get my college degree eventually, but I was a college dropout when I started.
All right, fair enough.
Well, you were briefly a college dropout, right, Jeff? And then you did get a degree. So
I did.
There you go.
There's something to be said.
Why did you go back? What was your like reason for finishing?
Because it took me 3 interviews to get a job at the Gap, and I'm like, well, this ain't going to work.
Yeah, you got stuck. Yeah.
That and the fact that 2 of my friends from high school went to the college that I just happened to visit them, and I had a great time, and I got lucky, literally. And so, yeah, I applied and I got in, and that was the end of that. I mean, there wasn't a lot of forethought. I was not exactly what one might call a motivated student.
Yeah, I wasn't really either, which is why I packed my bags and moved to where the sun was. So it worked out
Smart.
For me in
Very
the
good.
Scheme of things.
Very good.
So bring it back to AGS. Tell me if I'm wrong, but it seems Rake and Bacon is AGS's signature title.
Yeah.
How important is it for a studio to find like a signature hit game and be able to build a franchise around it?
I think that is important, right? We see that at every major company in the industry. They either have a signature IP, they have a signature game mechanic. So AGS being successful with the Rake and Bacon Corn Squealious brand and expanding that in an intentional way has been a strong move from the company.
And by the way, as a pescatarian myself, I just want you to consider making it an alternative to Rake and Bacon with some sort of fish or veggie substitute.
I'll let R&D know. We have for some reason that pig, like, I don't know if you've seen it. He sort of looks very terrified the whole time that you're playing the game. There's just something about him that has been hard to replicate in another animal theme.
Here's a question for you that I'm going to ask every casino executive from now until the end of time. How far away are we from like real AI in gameplay, where like I'm going to play live blackjack with Marilyn Monroe as my dealer and she's talking to me, and you know, where I'm playing a slot game where there's like actual interaction, like where the Rake and Bacon pig starts talking to me and we're having an actual conversation?
I would say it's probably already here in some small capacity. Like, I don't know if you guys have ever been to ICE. Some of the, you know, European action, obviously that's where online gambling originated from. Like, there's some really innovative small companies that are leveraging AI. So it's probably already here, but just not at scale yet.
Right. I'm looking forward to that. I think that it creates what kind of sometimes can be a kind of a static experience, and it turns into something, you know, very interactive, obviously.
Yeah. And we see like physical versions of that with your, you know, hosts at our casinos. So it's just a digital version of that.
Yep.
Last thing for you, Zoe. One of the things I know you take into account when designing games is adjusting themes and bonus structures to regional preferences. Can you give us some examples of a difference in preference between U.S. players and players in another country? I'm just curious, with slots, what sort of trends you see that may differentiate U.S. players?
Yeah, I think, like, if we were to generalize player behavior, right, in like LATAM markets, we see higher volume of lower bets. And so typically games in, you know, North America per se, the bet skew, there's an average bet, right? I mean, you kind of build your game off of that experience of what you know someone is putting into the machine. When that skews down, if you kept the game intact, right, it wouldn't be the same experience for someone. So considering things like that, like where is the bet volume and does the game play out in an equally entertaining way depending on where you might be playing, those are things that you might tweak in the background to ensure that somebody who's playing the same front end game has the same enjoyment and experiences throughout that session.
All right. Interesting stuff. And I will note for our listeners that they can go to playags.com to learn more. Anywhere else we should be sending people?
No, that's a good starting point. Thank you.
Right. All right, great. Well, great talking to you, Zoe. Thanks for joining us on the podcast.
Yeah, appreciate the time.
Our thanks again to Zoe. There's no fitting tie-in with the interview here, as this is not an AGS game that I'm about to talk about. But I know, Jeff, you've been waiting with bated breath ever since FanDuel Casino revealed a new Hoof and Poof game was coming review of the new game. It's called Hoof and Lots of Poof, or Huff and Lots of Puff, if you're not our Irish guest. So here goes with my review. Not my favorite. Probably my least favorite of the Huff and Puff variations of the three that I've played. Huff and Even More Puff, that's easily my favorite. This new one, it's one of those games where you're building stuff up along the way and building toward bonuses, seemingly improving the game state, which keeps you playing and chasing, which I don't love in general, but especially when you don't really know why something hits or what triggers it. It's like, you can get six or more hard hats to get free spins, or sometimes just randomly any number of hard hats will do it. I don't love that element of some slots games. you're better than that Huff and Puff franchise. But then the worst part, I built up all these bonusy spots on the wheel. I had all this potentially lucrative stuff there. Then finally got a wheel spin, and it hit a regular space on the wheel. I ended up getting not even 10x my bet from that bonus round. And then the wheel gets wiped clean, and all those boosted bonusy spots are gone. Brutally frustrating. I am ahead overall on the game because I had some run good initially, lost back some of it, not all of it, but don't really enjoy it. I think I'm done with it. Back to Huff and Even More Puff for me. That's to me a near perfect slots game. I love my Huff and Even More Puff. Not so into the Huff and Lots of Puff.
So I played Huff and Lots of Puff. I lost $10 immediately. I go 20 cents a spin, low roller style. And
Sure.
then I hit five toolboxes like across the entire board. Like it was just toolboxes. And that was a 243x win. And then I
Oh.
gave it all back, trying to get I
Wait,
gave it
you
all
the
back.
whole 5x3 grid was all toolboxes?
Yep.
Wow. That's
Yeah.
a great like, but
And
then you
then I
gave it
gave it
all
all.
back.
Yeah, and I even got the buzzsaw things twice, but I got like, 7x and 20, and then yeah, and the wheel I've been building up. How does the wheel activate? Just randomly, like when you get a wheel?
Yeah, so when you get one of those wheels, it
Right.
like boosts one of the items on the wheel, and then randomly one of the times you get the wheel, it'll actually spin the wheel. So I
Gotcha.
just had like all these boosted spaces, major jackpots, grand
Right,
jackpots,
right,
super
right,
hard
right, right,
hat
right,
game,
right.
or super mega hat, super this and that, and I got just a regular old mega hat game that got me like
Terrible.
$3.90 on my $4 spin or 4 cent 40 cent spin.
Well, guys, keep it right here for all the Huff and Puff news.
Are people less interested in slots frustration venting than they are in standard like sports bad beats or hearing about your fantasy lineup?
The truth of the matter is, no matter if no one ever wants to hear it ever about
Right,
anything.
right.
No
I'm
one
just
wants to
trying to
hear
say
it's crazy.
which is worse? Would you rather hear me vent
They're
about
all
my
equal.
fantasy? They're all equally
They're all
awful.
equal.
Okay.
It's so crazy. The one thing that we're all interested in is the last thing we ever want to hear about. I don't want to hear about your gambling stories. You don't want to hear about
Yeah.
my gambling stories ever. It's crazy. It's
And yet I finish
crazy.
every episode with a gambling
Well,
story.
because that's what we do. That everyone tells them, but no one really wants to hear them.
Wow.
It's weird. It's very weird. It's a weird thing. It should
It
be. You
is.
know
It's
what?
a strange phenomenon.
I'm putting it on my list.
Yes, this is a great Jeff Edelstein column idea for a slow week. I love it.
It's slow. What do you mean slow week? This is, I mean, come on, man.
All right. I
Slow
just
week.
mean that it's an evergreen idea. You can use it
Yes.
whenever.
Yes.
Get it done
Jeez.
before football season starts, because then you'll be
All right.
busier with real stuff to write about.
Just I'll decide how busy I am. Enough of this nonsense. All right. Listen, tonight, Thursday night, we're taping this. This used to be the happiest day on the calendar for me. It's the first NFL preseason full DFS slate. 10 years ago, it used to be my favorite day of the year. 7 years ago, 5 years ago, maybe even 3 years ago, still, it was one of my favorite days. It was so easy to win money. People would put in lineups with actual NFL starters in them, like in their lineups. This was dead money. I'm like 25%, 30% of lineups were dead before they even started. You could just win money. Today, everyone's too sharp. Every tout's got the goods on who's playing, who's not playing. AI makes this so much easier. You say, who's playing tonight? AI could do all the work for you. The edge is gone. The edge is gone. I'm still going to put money in the ecosystem. I'm still playing DraftKings tonight, but I'm not going to be happy about it. While I'm here, hey, NFL, bring back the old Pro Bowl. That was another bigger money maker. Just play the tight ends, man. That's all you had to do in the Pro Bowl. Just play the tight ends and you're going to win money. I don't know. Maybe I'll go play Huff and Puff. Listen, until next week, we're low rollers, small stakes, and hot takes.